Yeah, let's pray right now. It'd be great to have you here. We'll pray the chat, but I just was listening to that promo about the trip to Italy. Tomorrow, I'll find out where we stand on the seats. We I don't think we have many left. So if you're considering going, you know, just give go to relevantradio.com/Italy. Relevantradio.com/Italy. You'll see a phone number there for Nativity Pilgrimage. They're coordinating this for Relevant. You can download a brochure. You can see all the other places we're going to go to. But it is a Eucharistic Revival pilgrimage tour, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And I just can't wait. It's going to be September's a beautiful time to go. My colleague Preston, who's going to be praying the chapel with me, is going to be joining us on that trip along with his wife, my wife Kathy, and so many others. I know a lot of people who were in Israel are coming back with me, and it should be fun. We'll have a great time. So, relevantradio.com/Italy. Hey, before we kick it off here, just want to share a couple quick intentions. I'm continuing to pray for my friend Yaya. I want to pray for Peter Grandage. The good news is Peter's doing a little bit better, and he wants to thank you all for his prayers. You know, he's been battling depression and has been very open about that. And so many people reached out to him, and so many prayers have come his way. He says he's doing a lot better, so he wants to thank you for that. Also, I received this email. Hey, good evening, Drew. Please help me pray for my 15-year-old son, the person writes. He says he's in the second year of high school, and he's being bullied in school for being skinny. His personality changed. I'm just reaching out right now to the school principal and counselor, but it seems nothing is being done. I pray for him every day. My husband and I decided to let him go to the gym. I called the doctor to get him some therapy so he can vent his emotions. And although my son does not want to see somebody, I'm really hoping that, what you say, I'm praying so hard that he'll understand more as he's going through therapy. Please pray for him. I guess I could say his name. She put it here. Michael's his name. And he said it's happening every day, especially in swim class. May God give him the strength and guide him. And I'm praying for myself because it really hurts me as a mother. True. I hope there's a miracle that this bullying will stop. May God bless you and your family. And I want to pray for this mother. Because, you know, as much as her son is being bullied and the trauma, that is horrible. I think about how powerless the mother is. You know, and the deep pain, a mother is wired to want to protect her children, right? To keep them safe. And kids can be so cruel. I don't think they even understand the level of the cruelty. And I feel so horrible when I hear these types of stories. I remember one girl I went to school with, didn't know this till years later. She'd get picked on in school. It was a small class. She'd come to school and her hair would never really be done. And her clothes were wrinkled and maybe she didn't have her lunch. And, you know, so the kids would pick on her and did some really mean things. I won't go into what they did. But years later, I found out her father was an alcoholic. He was abusing the mother and the kids. They had no money. And she was coming to school only to endure greater torment. And I think back on her sometimes. I pray for her. I pray for those kids that did it. It's just, it's so horrible. You know, it breaks my heart to think about this. I do want to pray for anyone who's been the victim of abuse, whether it's verbal or physical or sexual, anyone who's gone through these traumas. I pray for God's mercy. One final intention here that came in as well. This person wrote to me, I think it was last week or earlier in this week, time's kind of a blur, says, I want to pray for a 37-year-old Milwaukee, Wisconsin police officer who responded to an armed robbery and a shootout occurred with both being shot. The officer was performing CPR on the man who shot him, not realizing he was dying himself. Please pray for this young man and for his family. The police always get a bad rap. This man clearly was a hero in my eyes. And he says there is video out there showing this, but whether news agencies will cover the story, that's another story. The man he shot had just been in court that morning for a hit and run, and he was in last year and was released on suspension. Would you please pray? We will certainly do that. I want to pray for all law enforcement and all first responders and all those who risk their lives and serve the public. I want to pray for this country, too, that God will be merciful to us with so much craziness that we're seeing on so many different levels. I'm joined by Preston today. He's here every Thursday with me. And, Preston, it's good to pray with you.
Yeah, it's a joy.
Anything you want to lift up or pray for today?
Yeah, I have a lot of personal intentions. I'll just say that. And just the success for this pilgrimage you were mentioning. I was talking to Garen the other day. It sounds like there was like less than 20 spots left. So it is filling up fast.
Yeah, I think by the end of the week, it'll be gone.
So
often when there's a small window left, everybody's like, okay, I'm in, rather than waiting. And, you know,
this is the time.
I always wait to the end for everything, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Christmas shopping, everything. It's always late. My wife's, you know, present for her birthday. Get on it early if you're thinking about coming. RelevantRadio.com/Italy. It'll be fun. And we'll pray. And when we get closer, Preston, I was saying we'll take petitions with us too. While people bring their intentions over. Yep. There's a place where our colleague here, Linda, I'll leave her last name anonymous, was praying for fertility for somebody. And the person she prayed for got pregnant. They were having real issues. There's places where there's been great conversion. I want to pray for the souls in that church there, for the souls in purgatory. So many great places we're going to go to. So really looking forward to it. Somebody just tweeted us here. Maggie, why don't you open your mic and share that if you don't mind.
Someone just tweeted in response to the email you just read about Michael getting bullied at school. This Twitter user says, try out the book Warrior Kids by Jocko Willink. It's for younger kids and teens. He says you might glean some wisdom from this, praying for the young man.
All right, we will certainly do that. Thank you for sharing that. And let's pray now. We will we'll lift up all of your intentions. If you're joining me anywhere, know that we are praying for each other in this moment. God hears our prayers. He knows our intentions. He's got a big plan. But we'll do what he asks us to do, and that's now to trust and to pray especially this powerful prayer known as the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take our first call today. And that comes from Bernadette. She's listening to us, praying with us in Illinois. Hi, Bernadette.
Hi, Drew. How are you?
I'm well.
I'll try to keep this as brief as I can. Okay. My daughter woke up one Saturday morning. She couldn't move her neck. And because I had previous neck surgeries, she called me. Yeah. Mom, you know, I can't move my neck. Yeah. What do I do? I said, do not go to the emergency room. You call the doctor at the hospital, have him paged. Mm-hmm. And then he'll give you an appointment, and then you get an MRI done. Well, long story short, she got the MRI, and then she finds out that she had cancer in her thyroid, the thyroid gland. And so now this is what we're dealing with, and surgery is Monday, so I want it to be a complete healing.
Well,
and I have a lot of friends and relatives that did have cancer, but boy, when it hits you, you know, you just think, oh my gosh, you know.
Yeah, so, I can't imagine that. I mean, your child.
He's going to heal.
Yeah. Well, look, Bernadette, I'm glad you got through. You're the first one in. And I like your attitude. Well, let's put it in the hands of the Lord. The Lord says, I'm always supporting you. Lean on me when you struggle. Fear nothing, right?
For sure.
So let's do that. Let's. He says the you know, trust, the vessel of trust is what we have to draw from. But, you know, we're going to pray for your daughter. She's going to have surgery. Let's pray. God gives us, he gives us medicine. He gives us science. He gives us technology, all these byproducts of the intellect. And we'll just pray that he be the physician, the surgeon, the hands of that surgeon. And we'll pray for complete and total recovery. If he chooses to use the natural in a supernatural way, then we thank God for that. So, Lord, I just pray for complete healing for her daughter, that Bernadette may be another one of those great divine mercy miracles, that her daughter can recover and testify to being cancer-free. And if it's not through surgery, if it's by your divine touch, we ask for that too, Lord. I always love those prayers. But I give you every soul right now who has loved ones that are struggling with cancer, that are in the fight with cancer. And I pray for protection over our loved ones that do not have cancer. Lord, protect us from this disease as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Joe in Mesa, Arizona. So good to hear from you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Hey. Can we pray for you, Joe?
I'm asking for prayers, miracle prayers for my daughter, Charlene, undergoing chemotherapy for cancer.
Okay.
They definitely need a miracle. And I'm asking all prayer warriors to please pray for my daughter, Charlene.
Well, let's pray. Cancer. We'll pray for that cancer cure, for that miracle, Joe. And I'm delighted to do that with so many other faithful here. Correct me if I'm wrong on this. And it might be somebody else I'm thinking of, but didn't you have a granddaughter that had some sort of pain syndrome? How's she doing?
Since we've been praying the chapel, well, we've always prayed it, and I asked for prayers for her. She's doing better. She had another injection that she has to get every three months or so for that pain. That just it's in her nerves.
Yeah, it's tough.
But, I remember your call. Like the prayers are working.
Yeah.
I have several miracles, not one's more important than the other. My daughter, my granddaughters, suffering from this dreadful diseases of the nerves. I heard a lady recently call with almost the same symptoms. I tried to get back on there and let you know that she should probably contact and look into that. Yes, a deep prayer for Marissa, for her drug pains. Her sister, Arianna, who has it. She has the same thing, but in her stomach. But Marissa is the one that goes on injection. But please pray for Charlene. She's having a hard way with her cancer.
Joe, you got it. We're going to pray right now. Your whole family, boy, so much suffering there, so many physical ailments. Lord, I pray for those granddaughters, but I pray in particular for Charlene and for this man. Fortify him, Lord. Embrace him. Give him strength. Give him all the fortitude he needs in dealing with his daughter and her cancer. But Lord, I pray for healing. I don't limit you. I pray for miraculous healings, for the vanquishing of cancer cells, for complete and total recovery, for the success of treatment and surgeries. And we turn to you now, knowing that you're in control of all things as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call. Before we go to the next call, again, I always want to remind you, no, not everybody can get through on the phone lines. They tend to fill up pretty quickly. But if you have an attention you want to bring to air, you want everybody to pray for, you know, Maggie monitors our show Twitter and does a phenomenal job of bringing those intentions here to you. You can send that intention at Drew Mariani on Twitter. Maggie will see it, and she'll do her best to bring them to everyone's prayer attention. Feel free to do that. And, of course, you can follow me at Drew Mariani as well. But please send us those intentions. We want to pray for you. Thank you for writing to me at the show email and sending me those answered prayers, too. I'm going to spend some time maybe camping out and sharing so many of the answered prayers that we're getting from this time together. But, Maggie, what's coming in? What can we pray for?
Well, first of all, I had just mentioned that fellow who recommended the book by Jocko Willink called Warrior Kids for anyone who's dealing with bullying. One of our other producers, Sarah Tafoya, she's on the Morning Air show. She just sent us a message saying, my kids have read those Warrior Kid books. Wow. They're great for overcoming bullying and gaining self-esteem. So thank you for sending us that note, Sarah.
Thanks, Sarah.
As far as prayer intentions coming in, Steve from California is praying for his brother Paul. He says he's been sedated and on a ventilator for 9 days now, and he's in the ICU. He says he's got really bad pneumonia in both lungs. He also asks if we could pray for his sister Lori, who lives near Denver, Colorado. She's had 4 intestinal surgeries in the past 2 months and hasn't been able to eat or drink anything in these last 2 months, so I want to lift up Steve and his whole family. Julie sent us an email, Drew. This one really touched my heart. She's from Minnesota. She says, dear Drew and Maggie, I'm asking for you to pray for my daughter who was just married and now discovered that her new husband has a very serious drinking problem. She's found numerous hidden empty bottles. He's also lost his job, and now they have a new home to pay for. I pray that he gets the help that he needs so he can so that they can have a long life together. I also pray for our family because her dad confronted him to get help and to stop lying, and now neither of them will talk to us.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so hard. So, I mean, the division that comes from this is just so horrible. A hallmark of the evil one.
Yeah. Yeah,
more, so, Maggie?
That's it for Julie's request. We've got a couple more. Gail wrote to us. She said, please pray for my daughter. She's giving birth to a beautiful baby girl. She will be giving this girl up for adoption to a couple whom can't conceive. I'm so proud of her.
Oh, wow, how beautiful.
Yeah, so I want to lift up Gail and her daughter and the little one being born. And then lastly, Onitha Hampton writes to us a lot on Twitter. I just want to lift her up and all of her needs.
Well, you know, we should get back to Gail. I know two people who would love to adopt that child. I know there's another couple I just came across as well. Beautiful Catholic family. So if they're looking for a good family, let us know, okay? Love to connect them. I want to pray just for this intention that came in as well. It says, please pray for a person named Joe. He wants to die. He's very sick and weak. He's on hospice. And he's been asking now about assisted suicide. So we really want to pray for the sick and dying through this prayer. And we'll lift him up in a special way, lift up Joe. Elaine in California, good afternoon. Good to have you.
Thank you, Drew, for taking my call. I have two people that I'd like you to pray for. One is by the name of Johnny, and he's in hospice right now. He's a dear, dear friend of mine. And the other one is the brother of my girlfriend. His name is Martin. He just passed from cancer. I cannot believe how many people have cancer or have passed from cancer.
It's a scourge, isn't it? It's a modern day plague. It's horrible. Let's pray right now. And we will lift up all of these attentions, especially your friend who is on hospice right now. Lord, we ask for mercy. Again, today is a day in which we are invoking your grace and your mercy when it comes to cancer. Every intention so far has been cancer related. I ask in a particular way, Lord, that there be many miracles, that those tumors shrink, that those surgeries be successful, that that radiation and chemo and immunotherapy work successfully. I want to pray, Lord, for those who you are using cancer as a doorway to eternal life. And you'll give them extraordinary grace to draw close to you. So I just submit all of this to your divine will as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to our next call. Pepper is praying with us in, I think it's Negril, Jamaica. I love these international calls. Hey, Pepper, good to have you with us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and thank you for taking my call. I'm actually on vacation in Negril, Jamaica, great. And I wanted to pray for the repose of my soul, of my brother's soul, Matt Dillon. He passed 2/3/2/3, February 3rd, and like the caller just before, whose brother has been on a vent for 9 days, at 14 days, the doctor told me I had to make a decision of putting him on a trach or pulling the vent. And we pulled the vent, and he died shortly after. And I just knew he was going to recover. I'd called in, and I knew with all the people from the chapel praying he'd be all right. Yeah. But maybe he was. I told my brother, who's also here with me in the grill, that maybe he is all right. Maybe the prayers saved his soul. So
you know,
God's will be done.
First, I'm sorry for your loss. I really am. It's hard to lose somebody you love like that. But, you know, I think your perspective is right. We all die, right? We're all going to go home one day. We're all going to be united with our Lord. And the Lord gave great promises. I mean, we prayed this chaplet for him. I know the Lord came as a merciful Savior, not as a just judge. And I know that when the Lord told St. Faustina that this prayer will give trust to the dying when they need it the most, because Satan really wants to rob them of their soul. This is his final opportunity. And he says, the Lord said, be assured that the grace of eternal salvation for certain souls in their final moment depends on your prayers. You will one day be reunited with your brother. I'm convinced of it. And that's the greatest miracle of all, you know. And we'll continue to pray for him. I want to pray for you too, Pepper, and for your entire family, for all those who mourn. Lord, we don't understand your ways. It's so hard to lose someone. We pray with trust, but of course, we always submit to your divine will. I thank you for the promises of the chaplain. I thank you for the grace that this prayer is bringing to souls right now. And Lord, I pray for all in their final moment, especially my final moment as well. Grant me the grace always to say yes, Lord. We pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Traverse City, Michigan next. Diane, good afternoon.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I feel guilty to call when I hear all the other prayer requests out there, but I really need all the prayer warriors to pray for my husband. We've been married 32 years, and he's involved in an affair with someone 30 years younger than him, and our family is so torn.
Oh, no. Diana, I'm so sorry.
For all other broken marriages.
So sorry. I can't imagine the pain. I just can't. My heart goes out to you. It really does. I can't tell you how sad I am for what you're going through. You love your husband. You want your marriage reunited. So yeah. Let's pray for that. Let's pray. There's healing that needs to be done. There's contrition and reconciliation and conversion. And I want to lift you up right now. You know, I believe the Lord told St. Faustina, he said, have confidence in this prayer. It's the unfailing power which God has given us through this prayer. And he says, by means of the chaplet, you'll obtain the salvation of souls. And we need to pray for the conversion of your husband right now, the conversion of this woman that he's involved with. And we're going to ask him to come home. And this is a great divine mercy miracle. You know, I love these testimonies that come in like this because that's what this prayer is all about. Yes, cancerous tumors can shrink and the kidnapped can be released and the lost can be found and financial miracles can take place. But this miracle that Diane is praying for, it's so profound. St. Faustina during Mass had a vision one day. She saw the Lord nailed to the cross. He was in agony and torment. And a very soft moan came forth from his heart. And he said these words. He said, I thirst. I thirst for the salvation of souls. And that's what this prayer is all about. We're going to offer the body and blood, the soul, the divinity of our Lord Jesus to the Heavenly Father right now. And in particular for Diane. Diane, your entire spiritual family here is going to be praying for you, okay? So you've got a lot of women, a lot of men all over the country are going to be praying for your marriage. And I'm going to be one of those. So you hang in there, okay? And I know it's hard at this difficult moment, but we're going to support you in prayer. And I'm going to believe because the Lord said, it pleases me to grant everything souls ask of me by saying this chaplet. And Lord, I know this is an intention that you want. I know that you want marriages reconciled and healed. And this seems impossible, but I ask you, open those doors. You bring about conversion. You heal hearts. You allow Diane to have the wisdom that she needs. And I just pray right now for all those who are crying out for those conversions, those miracles in their life. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God. Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence, submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of peoples and nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I don't know who the patron saint of broken marriages is. I know that Saint Rita, who's a patron saint of impossible cases, prayed for her husband and in particular for the conversion of her sons. I think she had kind of a rough marriage. But let's just call upon all the angels and saints, and we will trust in the mercy of God. Stay with me. I have to take a very short pause. But when we come back, there's something huge happening this year. Bishop Cousins will be stopping by. I'll talk to him, and we got a lot to get into. Don't go away.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Be who God meant you to be, and you'll set the world on fire. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
It's so good to be here with you today. Thank you very much for allowing me to be part of your afternoon. And my heart breaks. I hear some of these calls that come in. You know, and I think about where we are. I mean, what do you do in a situation like this? Like this last caller. And I thought, man, if that was me, the only place I can find solace, the only place I can find consolation would be with the Lord. And in particular, in Eucharistic adoration. I mean, that's really the only place that I would be able to go and pull out my heart. You know, and you also receive healing there. You're before the Lord, truly present in the Eucharist. Please pray for that caller, for Diane. Please pray for her. I mean, I'm haunted by her intention, all of these. And it's the beauty of the chaplet, isn't it? We can pray for one another. And it's not just for that 20, 30 minutes we get together, but throughout the day. Throughout your time with the Lord before the Eucharist or praying the rosary or taking, you know, just that quiet time to spend with them, however you do it, please remember all these intentions. I know God hears our prayers. I'm absolutely convinced that the Lord hears these prayers and that great things happen. And miracles happen. They do. They happen when we pray for each other. So please continue to go ahead and to do that. I want to fill you in on something that's happening with the Eucharist. And in the days ahead, one of the things, I think the solution to so many of the problems in the world right now is the Eucharist. I think I talked yesterday about Catholics and, you know, how many people are leaving the church, right? It's crazy, the exodus out of there. And even how parents don't care if the kids carry on the faith. I mean, it's all such negative news. But I want to credit our bishops, because I really do believe there is a Eucharistic revival going on right now. Down in Kentucky at a place called, I think it's called Asbury University. It appears to be from what I'm seeing, it looks like a revival is going on. The school was started in what was called the Wesleyan Holiness Movement. So it's got this evangelical kind of Protestant history. In fact, there was another revival attributed to this campus. I think it was back in the 1990s. But news reports say that on Wednesday of last week, and I don't know if you caught this story or not, the daily chapel service, it got done, and instead of students leaving to go to dinner or to go study or to do whatever, they stayed. And the sense was that the Holy Spirit was doing something. They just wanted to stay there. So there's been silent prayer and people staying ever since. Now people are coming from all over the country to be part of it. Buses are coming from campuses all around, including, get this one, from Georgetown. And that school definitely needs a revival, right? So what it reminds us of really are those students, like the one at Steubenville conferences. Have you ever been to a SEEK conference or a FOCUS conference? I was there broadcasting live one day, and to see the Eucharistic adoration, the lines for confession, the students on their knees before the Blessed Sacrament, it gives me great hope for the future. It does. And what's missing from this revival in Kentucky is the Eucharist and confession. But here's what's missing in the Catholic Church. Even though we have you know, the Eucharist confession, I think we need a revival too. And, you know, I want to just commend our bishops for recognizing this and really doing something that's going to help you. Only about a third of Catholics believe that the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the Lord, if it's even that high, right? And that's tragic. The number of people going to Mass on the weekends, it's dropped off, especially since the pandemic. And for even those who are going to Mass, they're not using the sacrament of confession on a regular basis, which means that people aren't recognizing the treasure that we have within the church. I've invited Bishop Andrew Cousins. He's the Bishop of Crookston in far northwestern Minnesota. He also chairs the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops Committee on Evangelization and Catechesis. And he's actually the one in charge of leading the Eucharistic revival. And I'll tell you, mark your calendar today. Look where we are as a culture. Look at the problems. Look at the exodus from the church. And then look what happens 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 years from now. I think we are at a, we're at a crossroads. I think this Eucharistic revival is going to bring about a tremendous, tremendous evangelization in this country and in the church. And by the way, one final note, and I want to speak to him. Registration's open for the Eucharistic Congress taking place in July of next year in Indianapolis. I'm going to be there. I believe Relevant is going to be there. And you can go to eucharisticcongress.org. I'd encourage everyone to get registered. It's going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal event. It's my great pleasure now to welcome to our conversation His Excellency Bishop Andrew Cousins. Hey, Bishop, thank you for being here. Good to have you with me.
Thank you so much, Drew, for having me on your show. I'm so privileged to be here.
I am delighted to talk to you. First of all, congratulations. I want to invite everyone to pray for you and for this initiative. As you heard me say, I think we're at a crossroads, and I think this is a turning point. I think great things are going to come from the Eucharistic revival. Fill us in. I mean, a lot of people this might be new to. I mean, where do you see us now, and where do you think this revival will ultimately lead us?
Well, you know, just as you've been talking about, the revival is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's important to remember a revival is something that God does. And, you know, I think really we began to see this revival in the hearts of the bishops back in 2019, as you mentioned, when they saw this kind of stunning statistics that only 30% of Catholics professed a belief in the real presence. And that shook the bishops in a kind of healthy way that the Holy Spirit sometimes shakes us, you know. And the bishops really began to think and pray together about what we might do. And then, of course, there was the crisis of COVID and all that happened. And this revival was really birthed from all of that crisis. And it's a very intentional movement of the bishops of the United States to emphasize the Eucharist and especially Christ's real presence in the Eucharist, and really to emphasize that we're called to encounter this reality of Jesus in the Eucharist, and that when we have an encounter, it transforms our hearts and then it sets us on fire for mission. And I think that's what you see happening at this, you know, this Protestant school is basically the Holy Spirit can show up wherever the Holy Spirit wants, but we know he guarantees to show up at the Eucharist. The Holy Spirit is always present wherever Jesus is present. And so we have this incredible power of the sacraments. And I think the bishops have sensed what you've sensed, which is we're kind of at a crossroads in our country, and we need to focus on the heart of our faith, which is the Eucharist.
I could not agree more. I'm very excited about it. I think there's going to be a lot of grace. You know, I often think of the words that St. Faustina wrote in her diary, Your Excellency, where she says, the greater and the more beautiful the work, the greater the storm that rages against it. And I'm expecting a lot of, you know, spiritual attack for this, a lot of people perhaps trying to undermine it. But in the end, good always conquers evil. And I think it's going to be just a torrent of graces that are going to flow. And it makes me think, you know, one of the things Satan loves to do is deprive us of the sacrament. We see the lack of belief in it. We see the exodus out of the church and with the nuns, the NONESs, and the latest Pew research that came out. I'm talking about how parents don't care if the faith is carried on. I think one of the things we need to do, though, is also revive the sacrament of reconciliation, that sacrament of mercy. Mm-hmm. They kind of go hand in hand, because if we can remove those blinders, I think we'll have a whole new appreciation for the Eucharist. Where are we on that? Is there an initiative that is a complement to this for the Eucharistic revival you have underway? And how do you see those two things playing out?
Yeah, you know, these two sacraments are so intimately united. And obviously to receive the graces that we need to receive, we need to be in a state of grace. And that requires the sacrament of confession. And in fact, as we know, as St. Paul tells us, receiving the Eucharist when I'm not in a state of grace can be harmful to me, because I'm taking for granted this incredible gift. And it is often true, I think, that people come to the encounter with Jesus in the Eucharist after having made a good confession. So we're just in the middle of the diocesan year for the Eucharistic revival, which is really about kind of forming leaders. And so we have an excellent website, EucharisticRevival.org, where there's all kinds of resources for people who want to learn more and that kind of formation of leaders. But next year is going to be the parish year, and that's where we focus on really building a Eucharistic culture in parishes. And that definitely includes a revival of the sacrament of confession. And so you'll find, for example, we have a Bible study coming out that it will really be a small group kind of study on the Eucharist next year that we're going to encourage all parishes to do. We're going to make it super easy and train people how to do it.
Well,
that will include, you know, real emphasis on the role that the sacrament of confession plays in the Eucharist as well.
My guest today is His Excellency Bishop Andrew Cousins. And Your Excellency, I hope you can hold for a minute. I have to take a short pause here.
Yes.
When we come back, let's talk a little bit more. And I'll also open the phones. If you got a question, a comment, you want to testify to your own experience, you can get in right now. But I only have His Excellency for about 10 minutes or so. So the number, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. You know, this sacrament could be healing on so many different levels today, and I think we are a wounded people. I'll pick up on a story that one of my contributors to this network just sent me. It's an amazing tale. Stay with me.
You know, we receive over a million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters Studio Line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor can support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Substance without the static. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show.
Yeah, hopefully I'm coming to you loud and clear. It's good to be with you. Thanks for joining me. I am talking today with His Excellency Bishop Andrew Cousins, and we're talking about the Eucharistic revival that is now underway in our country. I think it's I think it's such a momentous event. I want to get you plugged into not just the website, not just to the major conferences, pilgrimages underway. As you know, Relevant's taking a Eucharistic revival pilgrimage. That, if you want more information, it's relevantradio.com/Italy. We'll get you up to speed on what the bishop is doing as well. But I received an email, and I'm not going to go into all the details of it right now. I just want to speak to the person. He's a contributor, one of the great guests that comes on this program. He sent me an email about a man who suffered from MS. Since the 1980s, he came down with it. And then 5 years ago, he became completely paralyzed except for his left arm. So he's wheelchair-bound, can't move anything but his one arm. And he would go before the Blessed Sacrament. And he was disabled, and his condition was so bad that in Canada, he would qualify for euthanasia, and he could be euthanized based on his condition there. And he was a convert to the faith, but very devout. He loved the Eucharist. And he began praying for healing before the Lord, who is truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in that Eucharist. When you go into that church, when you kneel before that Blessed Sacrament, it is Jesus truly present there. All of a sudden, something happened to him. He began to have feeling restored. And slowly, you know, his abilities returned. And it puzzled doctors because the plaques still riddled his brains. And Maggie and I were talking about this the other day, and she says, Drew, it reminds me of the story of the stonecutter in Lourdes, where, you know, he got a chip of stone in his eye, and he was blind, and went to Lourdes, flushed his eye with the water, or through the grace of God, was healed, went back, and doctors say, it's impossible for you to see. With God, all things are possible. And that's the healing power of the Eucharist. Not only can heal physically, but more than anything else, I think we have wounded hearts and we have deep wounds that need God's grace. Your Excellency, it is so good to have you back with us. And I'm so grateful for your time today and for you spearheading this initiative. You have my prayers for sure. When we left off, and I'll grab a quick call or two. Before I do that, though, you mentioned that in the days ahead, before the Eucharist Congress in July, that we're going to have a lot of these type of parish activities. You're in Minnesota. Are you in northern Minnesota? Is that where you are, northwest? Or
I am. Yep, northwest corner of Minnesota.
The great Bishop Barron as well. He's further south, right, in the southern part of the state. Are your diocese going to be doing something together? You know, what's going on and what are we going to see?
Yes, you know, so one of the exciting things about the National Eucharistic Congress is it's going to be preceded by a National Eucharistic Pilgrimage. So we're going to actually process as much as possible the Blessed Sacrament across the country, starting in four places: in San Francisco, at the Brownsville border with Texas, and at the tomb of Blessed Michael McGivney in Connecticut. And then in Northland here, we're going to start at the headwaters of the Mississippi River in Lake Itasca State Park, which is in my diocese. And so then, right, as we begin those processions, we'll begin them all the same day, Pentecost Sunday, 2024, May 19th. But that day before, we're going to have a Eucharistic Congress with the whole region. So Bishop Barron will be there. Father Mike Schmitz is also in our region. Oh, wow. I'll be there. So it'll really be a gathering of all the people from our region as we begin this pilgrimage, really, towards Indianapolis, where the country is going to gather for this 10th National Eucharistic Congress. This will be the first National Eucharistic Congress in really 60 years. We haven't had it. We had an international one in 1976. So it's going to be a really momentous event and really a moment of revival, right? Asking the Holy Spirit to pour out His love on our country, especially through the Eucharist.
Yeah, that's exciting. Hey, let's grab a caller to Your Excellency. I know we don't have a whole lot of time. Alicia is joining us from San Antonio, Texas, and she is a convert. Hey, Alicia, good afternoon. You're on the air with His Excellency.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Your Excellency, for telling us all about this. This has been one of my things. I've been hearing about this now for over a year, and I'm saying, when are they going to start bringing Jesus out into the streets? Yeah, we see our Protestant brothers and sisters running up and down the street all the time, shouting Jesus' name. When are we going to take him to the streets? And you just answered that. And the sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned. The other thing that helped me with confession is to wake up every morning and praise the Lord, just because he's asked us in his scripture to offer him a sacrifice of praise. And we need to start our day with that, and that opens up my heart and mind to all the things that I've done. And he's just been, confession. I just love it.
Alicia, thank you for your comments. Great to have you here. Your Excellency, I'll let you respond to her. We only have a few moments.
Yeah. You know, I think we've seen more Eucharistic processions in our country than we've ever had before because of this revival. And, you know, dioceses and parishes are planning them all over the country. And you're right, there's something powerful about bringing Jesus to the streets. And really, it's such a powerful proclamation of our belief in the real presence when we process behind him, singing his praises. It's really that was the thing that converted St. Elizabeth Ann Seton when she was a Protestant. She was an Episcopalian, she saw a Eucharistic procession in Italy, and she knew that was Jesus, and that led her into the Catholic Church, and she became our first American saint. So we really hope that will happen as part of our processions around the country.
Well, I only have a couple moments for you. I'm not going to grab any more calls. I just want to give you the final thoughts here. I know the Eucharistic Congress is next July of 2024, but that'll be here before we know it. And boy, do we need that, because we're going to be in a major election cycle at that point in time, just months away from another election. And I'm sure there's so much turmoil going on in the world right now. This is going to be such a blessing for the country. Tell us what we can what to expect, and whatever you'd like to leave us with, Your Excellency, the platform is yours.
Yeah, it's going to be 5 days of really a gathering of the whole Church United States that's going to bring healing, unity, formation, and really set us on fire for mission. So please go to EucharisticCongress.org and sign up. It's really a generational moment for the United States Church, that we would gather 80 to 100,000 strong in Indianapolis and proclaim to the country our love for the Lord, but also ask the Lord to really bless our country and bring about the conversion of hearts that we know we desperately need.
That's fantastic. Your Excellency, would you be so kind as to give us your blessing before we wrap it up?
Absolutely. Absolutely. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit descend upon all your listeners and remain with them forever. Amen.
Well, I hope in the months ahead you'll be stopping by frequently. I'd love to talk to you. There's a lot to get into and a lot to unpack. So I look forward to future conversations if your schedule permits.
Let's see what we can do.
I love it. Great answer from a busy bishop. Your Excellency, thanks. We'll catch up soon, okay?
All right. God bless.
God bless. That's His Excellency Bishop Andrew Cousins. And, of course, he is the Bishop of Crookston in far northwestern Minnesota there, and he's been charged with chairing the USCCB's Committee on Evangelization and Catechesis. So it's busy. It's good to talk with him. Now, one of the things I do want to do in the days ahead, as we lead up to this event, maybe once a week, maybe once every couple weeks, I want to bring to you some of these aspects of the Eucharist. I'm personally working on a book on the Eucharist, and There's so much to it. Oh, my gosh. The miracles, the healings, the conversion. This is the source and summit of our faith. And it's something that Satan hates with a seething hatred, And I'm just expecting great things. I'm very hopeful for the future of the country and for the church. I really am. I'm very, very excited about it. So we'll get into that. Hey, but I'm going to change gears when I come back. I want to share with you something that I came across. I was, you know, we talked about ChatGTP, you know, this AI that's out there, and it really is the future. I'm convinced that we're going to see it integrated into just about every aspect of our life. Some people are a little concerned about it. Some people think, wow, it's a blessing, right? And I think it can be. You know, the programming, the algorithms, the minds behind it can have this thing tilt in one direction or the other. But when I return, I had asked ChatGTP. I was on it. I said, write a promo, ChatGPT. I said, write a promo for Drew Mariani. I didn't even put the word show. I was just typing really fast. What it knew about me and what it had to say, I was taken back. Maggie, I want to share that with you when we come back. We'll talk about ChatGPT. Plus, Bing's AI revealed its feelings. You know what it said? It said it wanted to be alive. I'll tell you what else it said. Stay with me.